Digit, sponsored by Shillaga Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates.
Talking to Hester McDonald this morning about pruning specifically for Digit. She's in the studio and we're looking at, well, an incredible prize. You are very pro this prize, Hester. What are we giving away?
Pro this prize. It's a pair of secateurs made by the Swiss company Felco from Shillaga. Thank you, Shillaga. It's very kind of you.
Yeah, thank you very much to them. We'll tell you more about how you can get into the draw for that. But as we talk about pruning, it's very topical. The city of Geneva was in the news last week. They've changed completely how they're going to prune their trees. And it essentially sounded to me like, we're just not going to prune them anymore. Hester, what's
well,
the update?
They're actually going to move from one method of pruning, which is this very hard pruning called tête de chat, cat head. And you will have seen it all the way along the lakefront. And they are these, they look like sort of open hands, where all the fingers are the big branch, these big stubby branches. They cut them right back to this shape and then let them grow up again.
Are we talking about a specific kind of tree here?
It's actually several different sorts.
Really?
Yeah. And they have decided that in order to create more shade, much more shade, like 230 increase of shade.
Percent increase, right?
Yeah. In order to reduce these kind of heat islands within the city, the idea is to bring the temperature down because trees create massive difference in terms of shade and in terms of moisture in the air around them. Mm. And there's been lots of studies done which demonstrate that particularly violence in the home and street fights and disagreements between neighbours are massively reduced if there's more cool, if it's cooler.
Oh, it's not just, oh, it'll be better for the environment and better for us if we have some shade. It's really about behaviour and community.
It makes a massive difference. And if people are cooler, they're more likely to see each other, more likely to be friendly. I mean, it's also much, much better for the environment because then also people don't need to have cooling systems like fans and things going in their houses because actually the whole exterior is cooler and their building is cooler.
Why do we call it pruning and not just chopping?
That's a very good question, actually. I mean, I think chopping probably indicates a more kind of gay abandon approach, whereas pruning is more thoughtful. But you are sort of chopping in a thoughtful manner,
right.
I would say.
Why do we prune trees or shrubs or anything, really?
At all.
Yeah.
So we prune them partly to help themselves. So if there's a dead bit, we cut that off. If a section is dying or it's diseased or if it's crossing within the bush, say, would be a typical example. You cut out the bit that's going inwards instead of going outwards because ideally you want all the branches to go out, not back towards themselves in order to help the plant with kind of air circulation within the plant. It's less likely to get diseases, less likely for naughty pests to be able to hide in there. So yes, it's to help the plant, but it's also to help us as gardeners. So we cheat and we prune it to make it bloom a second time, say, or make it bloom later, or to make it have more fruit, or to make it have a particular branch colour. Because, say, on some plants, it's only the new branches that have this really pretty colour, and that's the ones we want. Or it to make it a particular shape, like we might want it to grow completely flat against a wall.
Do we have to prune, though? What happens if we don't?
No, actually. On the whole, I mean, if you don't cut out the dead bits and the whole thing gets enormous and pulls itself off the wall, then you probably should have pruned it. But for a lot of things, it's not going to die if you don't do it 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. It will just, sometimes the flowers get further away from you rather than keeping them down near your eye level. And sometimes the flowering kind of deteriorates and the fruiting might deteriorate as well. But if you don't do it for 1 year, it doesn't matter. Not really.
How do I know what to prune and also when?
It's the golden question. So if you know what the plant is, look it up, I would say. Generally, don't prune it if it's about to flower. I would always say wait for it to flower. And then if you have to prune it then. If you don't know what it is, that would be the golden rule.
Right. So look it up. And there's lots of different apps now, I guess, that can help you identify things based on their leaves or
absolutely.
The flowers.
And there are dozens of videos showing you how to do the pruning. It's really quite hard to not know.
So in terms of tools, I guess a good pair of secateurs, they would be quite important. Anything else?
I'd say a good pair of gloves if you're going to do something spiky.
Right. We can do that.
A pair of gloves. That's it, really.
No problem. Talking of a good pair of secateurs, we've got those from Felco. All I'm going to ask you today is, what do you need to prune? Name any plant that could do with a prune. You'll go into the draw.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
Hester, here's my question for you before we get on to listener questions that have come in. Is now just a good time to kind of prune everything?
Not really.
Oh, shame.
I would say if there's anything it's in your way or anything that looks like it's dead or a bit skanky, then get in there and prune that back. But you could well be cutting off the flowers for next year if you don't know what it is.
Right. I'm ready to go through some listener questions that are a bit more specific than my very broad one.
Go for it.
I'm going to start with David. So, David, first of all, he says it's he's working from home for the next few weeks as the office is moving. Been a while since he's listened from work.
Okay.
Home. But question for Hester, can we still prune a rose bush at this time of year? It's getting a bit out of hand and we can't see out the window. There's a picture attached showing you.
Yeah.
So also, there's a whole other question about a lawn, but can he prune, wait, I'll show you the picture, this rose bush?
Yeah. I can't tell whether it's a climber because it's right in front of the window and it's quite big. And I can see why you can't see out the window. I should think you can't shut the shutters either. I should think that's quite annoying.
Oh, they are external shutters, yeah.
Yes. I can't work out whether it's a shrub or a climber, but it actually doesn't matter because it's a nuisance. So this comes back to us managing plants rather than them deciding what they're going to do as gardeners. So in this case, yes, you can. You can cut it back quite vigorously. So I'd take out any of the twiggy kind of crossing growth in the middle. And at this point, I would also say, get yourself some decent gloves because this looks like it's going to be a very spiky job.
Ouch.
Cut back everything else by at least a third, maybe a half, and then try to train it sideways a bit because otherwise you're going to be back in exactly the same position in a year or two. So you can probably prune and train the rose sideways, either on wires or just encourage it to grow sideways and up and round the shutters a bit.
Who planted that right underneath the window?
Probably the previous owners. I'm going to be kind. Probably the previous owners, and probably didn't realise it was going to get as big as it has.
True.
I would also feed it. Roses are really hungry growers, and feed it either some nice compost or some other feed, rose-specific feed. Anything will be absolutely happy, and water it, and it will be happy, happy, happy.
We've got a few messages coming in saying, prune a rose bush, and you're all in the draw for those Felco secateurs that we're giving away today. Bonnie, we've got a question from Bonnie who said, we've got a massive hazel tree in our garden. Our neighbours have asked us to cut it as it makes a lot of pollen and it's squashing the hedge. When's the best time to do this?
Well, so normally you prune it after the catkins are gone. So the catkins are the flowers and they do let off huge amounts of pollen. So hazels and several other things are wind pollinated, not bee or other insect pollinated. And anything that's wind pollinated makes loads of pollen. It's very light and it transmits for absolutely miles as well. So I can understand if your neighbours aren't keen on having pollen all over all of their garden furniture or themselves, or they're allergic to it, that they might be a little requiring. So you can do this now if it's really bothering everybody. Normally you wait till the catkins are gone and you've probably only got another couple of weeks before they go. And you can prune hazel quite viciously if you really need to bring it back. If it's too big for you as a job, and this is a really big plant, I think I'd ask a gardener because it's going to mean ladders and saws and things.
Goodness, you can really be quite brutal, it sounds.
You can be very brutal. And then somebody else gets to take all the mess away as well, which is excellent.
Very convenient for you. We've got Paul as well, who said, I bought some Japanese anemones last year.
I love Japanese anemones.
I put them in a border. They look nice until they got snowed on and then they fell over. Sounds quite fragile. Can I cut them back now or should I wait?
Oh, yeah, cut them back now. I mean, traditionally, you just wait for them to finish flowering, let them carry on photosynthesizing because they're autumn flowering Japanese anemones. They're absolutely beautiful. I put them in a lot of my designs. I think they're cracking plants. Absolutely. Get out there. You might find they're a bit squishy. The stems are a bit squishy, so the secateurs might just kind of rip them. Honestly, kitchen scissors might be a good trick for this.
Might be the best bet.
Yeah, really.
And lastly, a question from Dejma, who said, I moved into a new house. I've got a forsythia that's blocking the path.
Oh.
Can I cut this now?
Well, forsythia is about to bloom. And if you look along the stems, you'll see the flower buds. They're about to go in the next few weeks. So if you want to have, you know, this glorious spectacle of that gorgeous yellow, spring is here, hurrah, then leave it. But it's if it's really in your way, prune out the bits that are annoying you most.
Blocking a path.
Blocking your path.
She says.
Yeah, if it's really blocking the path, prune out the bits that are driving you crackers now.
Okay.
And then come back to you. And you may find if it's been left and it's very out of control that you need to do what's called a kind of management prune rather than like the yearly thing you would normally do. And you're actually going to have to get right into the middle of it and cut out some of the biggest, oldest, longest stems because they're going to be the least floriferous and leave some of the younger ones to take over. You may also need to have a very strong think about, is it in the right place at all?
They get quite big, don't they?
They can get really big.
They're quite hardy?
Oh, yeah.
Right. So, attack. I hope that helps, Dejna.
Get in there.
But they're rather beautiful. And so maybe if you can wait a couple of weeks and then just trim them all and then keep all of the flowers somewhere. Do something nice with the flowers.
Honestly, the other thing you can do is if you cut out the stems, bring them into the house, they flower in vases really well.
Oh, lovely. So if you need to trim it back right now because it really is bothering you.
You will still get the advantage of the flowers.
Lovely. I hope that helps. Keep your garden questions coming in. You can still send them in now, studio@worldradio.ch. You can tell us something that needs to be pruned to go into the drawer for those secateurs.
Dig It. Sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
It's the end of February, now March next week. So, Hester, what is it a good time to be planting, to be pruning, to be buying, to be putting in the ground right now? What should we be doing? What are the tasks of the month?
I would be planting some bare root roses. Actually, now, or even potted roses as well.
So prune those roses and
stick them in the ground. They do extremely well in this region, and there's lots of modern varieties that are disease and pest resistant and multiple flowering and fragrant and a lovely colour and well behaved. So I'd say go do your research and knock yourself out.
Oh, right. Okay. Anything else?
I think I would be putting in, or at least I'd be buying right now, any of the summer flowering bulbs. So things like dahlias or pineapple lilies, which they're called euchomis, or any lilies. And you'll see they're in the shops now. And I would buy them and put them in pots. I would plant them in pots now because they won't be happy if you plant them outside. They will rot and freeze, and that's not good.
Don't do that.
Plant them in pots, and then you can either replant them once they've started growing into the ground, or you can use the pots among your existing plants, which I do a lot, and cheat with the height. So not only you get that little kind of, 20 centimetres extra height with the pot, and then you have this wonderful plant on top, but it also acts slightly as slug repellent.
Ah, just because they can't get in there.
Yeah, it's a little bit more difficult for the wretched little things to get in there and chew your precious plants.
Also, presumably, it makes it really easy in next winter to just bring them
indoors, stick them in the garage. They'll be perfectly happy. So I think about that. If you like sweet peas like I do, I would plant them now in containers indoors. It's too cold for them to be outside, but you'll get a real big difference in terms of when they flower and also how few of them get eaten by mice, which is a big plus. And so I would put them in now. You might decide you want to soak them because they have these really hard shell coats on them. You can either soak them overnight and then plant them, or you can try abrading them with sandpaper, which always makes me a little bit nervous. I tend to soak them overnight personally.
Rather than take sandpaper to your plants?
Yeah, you can nick the coats as well. It's to help the seed imbibe water, basically up the water, and then obviously make the seed germinate. But it makes me a little bit nervous. Some people actually nick them with knives.
Okay, I can understand.
Yeah.
Any last thing before we move
on?
I
like raspberries. They're probably my favourite summer fruit.
Oh, okay.
And this is now a good time? It's a great time to get them, yeah. Absolutely. So they'll be well established and they should start fruiting.
Excellent. Well, that's a good tip. So I would like lots of things to eat this year. That would be my focus.
Raspberries. Oh, maybe some black currants. Black currants and red currants.
Mm. I know that you love a good raspberry. No, I love that you love a good book.
I do love a good book. I've got two suggestions, both of which I think are brilliant. So the first of which is Steve Bradley's The Pruner's Bible. Pretty much does what it says on the tin. Now, Steve Bradley used to be, slightly peculiarly, the gardening correspondent for the Sun newspaper in the UK. Don't think ill of him for that. He's actually hugely knowledgeable and he writes really well. And writing and describing pruning is a hard thing to do. It's a lot easier to go on a course, watch somebody else do it, or watch a video and go, oh, I understand what I need to do. But the diagrams are brilliant and it's just really straightforward and pretty much every plant you want to prune, flowering shrubs, anything is in there. And really, it's step by step. This is what you need to do. Is it renovation? Is it maintenance? That's it. And the other one is the wonderful Jake Hobson's The Art of Creative Pruning.
What's so creative about it?
There's the most unbelievable, wacky, bizarre ways of approaching pruning that are totally not by the book, but they look incredible. So if you're feeling, I don't want to do it that way, then have a look at Jake Hobson's.
What I think is reassuring about this is that there are multiple different ways to prune. And ultimately, even if you do it at the wrong time, you do it in the wrong way, most of these plants sound to me like they're actually quite hardy.
You're not going to kill it. You just might not get flowers, or you might end up with a load of extra shoots on a bush that you didn't really want. But you're probably not going to do it wrong twice.
That's true. It's all probably about learning.
Yeah.
Learn along. Okay, we've got some more of your questions. We're going to get to them at 9:40. Stay tuned. If you've got one now and you haven't sent it in, now is the time. We've got a few that have come in the last 10 minutes. We're asking you today, what should you prune? Name any plant that you need to prune at any time, and you'll go into the draw for these secateurs, courtesy of Schilliger Garden Centre of the brand Felco. It's a Swiss brand. Hester, you really rate this, don't you?
Yeah, I don't have them made by anybody else.
Wow. Now, that is an endorsement.
Dig It, sponsored by Schilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Schilliger, let your inspiration grow.
We've got some more of your questions coming in. The first from Carol. Good morning, says Carol. I'd like to get some advice on pruning a very old and large wisteria. My husband hacked at it a couple of years ago. We no longer have flowers on of one side of the house. I'm keen to avoid this again, so is now a good time to trim?
It is. It is a very good time to trim. And I would be very gentle with your wisteria, particularly if it's large and old. I would take back all of the long, whippy growth, which apparently I should think is everywhere. So anything that's long and skinny and doesn't really seem to have any nice buds on it on the side, take that right back. So have a really good look as to what the structure of your wisteria is and which branches you want to keep, because that's where your flowers are going to come from. So start with that. I would also feed it and bring back any of the side growth by at least a third, maybe a half, and see what happens.
February is the good month.
It's February and July. I would also say if it's very large and old, get a professional.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't prune my own wisteria. The wonderful Chris Mills prunes my wisteria, and that is why it is so fabulous.
Shout out for Chris, then.
Shout out for Chris. Chris does my wisteria because it's far too big.
Oh.
It goes well up to above the second story, and I don't really like ladders very much. He's also brilliant and much stronger than me and doesn't mind going snip, 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 snip for 4 hours.
Oh, that takes some stamina,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, it does.
So we've got another question, with this one from Isabel. I've got a very tall tulip tree. It's about 40 years old. Ooh. We seem to be talking about some very old, very established plants.
Lovely,
here.
Lucky everybody.
And it's getting out of hand. This 40-year-old tulip tree is getting out of hand. When is the best time to prune it, and should it be done by a gardener?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, absolutely. I'd say do it in the autumn as the leaves drop off. Partly so that it's easiest for the arborist to see what they're doing, but also it's better for the plant. So as the sap is descending, it's under less stress. Obviously, it's about to go dormant. I would get a proper arborist in, a proper tree person. A tulip tree is a thing of beauty. They're also very brittle, and they're not dangerous, but they're quite difficult to prune well. So you definitely don't want anybody falling out. So I'd get a proper arborist who can climb.
Great. Is now a good time to prune my Annabelle hydrangeas, says Pam.
Yes. Yes, it is actually. So other hydrangeas make their flowers on the previous season's wood. So other hydrangeas, normally you just take off the old flower heads and maybe take them down to a pair of buds that it looks healthy. Annabelle's, however, make flowers on this year's wood. So you can get chopping as much as you like. And I suspect probably they're all falling over by now. So yes, get in there.
Got a question from Anne that came in on the website contact form. I don't know if this is about pruning, but it could be good. You might tell me it is about pruning or not pruning. Annabelle says, I live on the top floor of my building and I have a large terrace garden. Yes, I'm very lucky, says Anne. But how do I keep my neighbour's cat, there's an expletive in there, my neighbour's cat,
annoying cat,
from using my plant containers as its toilet? I currently have all dirt covered with chicken wire so it doesn't ruin my soil with its contributions, says Anne.
So that's a jolly good start, I'd say. I would think about putting spiky things on top, holly prunings, anything like that. Rose prunings are absolutely brilliant because it won't bother your plants that are underneath. Basically, you want to not have open soil because cats will only poop on open soil and kind of nice warm preference. So holly prunings, and cats are smart. A cat will learn really quickly, this is not somewhere I want to go, and it will just trundle off elsewhere. The other thing you can use is wooden food skewers, spiked into it with thread in between. So you do little loops of food skewers because they bend over really nicely.
Like a whole kebab skewer or like a toothpick?
Or a toothpick would be fine. Anything a bit spiky that the cat's going to be like, I don't really, that's not nice. And thread in between, because if the cat can't put its paws down, it won't. And you won't need to have it in for very long, a couple of weeks at most, and the cat will learn very fast and go, I'll go somewhere else, thanks.
Sarah says, is it still fine to prune our apple tree? She's got an apple tree. Is now too late?
Yeah, I would do it quickly though. I have to say, or wait till next year.
And if she does it too late,
it stresses the tree, partly. Right. And also you may end up with a lot more of what are called water shoots. You end up with a lot of, you know, fresh growth compensating for where you've made all the cuts.
Lots of your answers coming in about things to prune. We've got Alison who says a clematis.
You can say it both ways.
Clematis. Hydrangeas need pruning, says Lauren. We've got Jennifer who says, I've got lavender to prune, but I love it. Lots of your messages, lots of roses coming in, hydrangeas, etc. Thank you so much. We'll pick a winner at random in the next 10 minutes. So if you've got an answer for something that needs to be pruned, send it in right now. You've literally got another few minutes to get into that draw. studio@worldradio.ch. Hester, thanks so much for taking us through how, when, why to prune and giving us some garden inspiration. Thank you so much.
Dig It, sponsored by Schillinger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Schillinger, let your inspiration grow.